Welcome back to Yahoo Finance Live. I'm Jared Blickery. Didi stock up 30% off of the lows only a few weeks ago. And we're going to talk about it, all the actions from the PBOC to the local Beijing government, which may be taking over the company. And for that, we're going to bring in Brad Gastworth. He is a Wedbush Securities Chief Technology Strategist. And Brad, when this stock debuted at IPO'd, I think it was only 2 days later that the Chinese government came out and just slammed it. And I think that sent a message to investors, but it's been popping recently. Can you tie this together? Is the worst over potentially as they look for their new owners, basically the state coming in and taking them over?
Yeah, Jared, you you hit it on the head. I mean, first of all, I think Beijing didn't really want Didi to become a public company trading here in the United States. And I think that by itself started the precedent of the perception, at least by Beijing, that Didi was not going to pay attention or listen or to adhere to sort of the structure that, you know, the government wanted. And I think right off the bat, there's a bad taste in the mouth by actually not necessarily taking their advice and still listing here. And to your point, I mean, what the future holds a lot of interesting things, but, you know, clearly there's been reports that the government, Chinese government, is looking to get more investment or investment into the company. And, you know, it wouldn't be surprising to see, you know, more involvement by the country.
And Brad, how do you handicap potential delisting here? Is this something that is more than a 50% chance that it actually happens?
Yeah, and Brian, I mean, it's such a good question. It's hard to really, put a probability on it. I'd say 50% just because it's a coin flip is probably the right way to assess. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, with the rhetoric between the two nations really getting worse and worse, and I think when you look at what President Xi has been doing, he's been sending a message that, you know, look, he wants to take control back. Even though the government's always had control, there's been perception, at least from the U.S. investment community, that there was some autonomy in in these companies. And that's really far-fetched. I think from the beginning, you know, everybody had to understand that, you know, investing in Chinese companies listed abroad, they're still Chinese companies and the government can do what they want. So I think that risk has been now more realized and known. And I think, you know, is a delisting coming? That's a coin flip, but, you know, certainly it's a possibility, and it's maybe better than a 50%.
I'm wondering what you think this does for the EM space overall. You think emerging markets and lots of countries around the world. We used to talk about the BRICS, the Brazil, Russia, India, China, but you know, you got to think that if you take an ETF like EEM, you look at the top spots, it's almost all Chinese tech. You got some other big giants in there like Samsung. But if you want to be an EM, how do you approach this now?
Yeah, and Jared, I mean, you're bringing up that. I think that's really one of the most important points here that I think, you know, people may be missing. And thanks for the question. I think in emerging markets, like the biggest country beneficiary here is probably India. You're having, you know, high growth, big population. And, you know, they also attract very strong talent on the technology side. So I think India is an interesting emerging market play. When you look at the indexes, I think indexes are tough because, you know, people really can put what they want in an index. That being said, for me, I like exposure in Southeast Asia. You're on port side, so you have access to water. Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam, Thailand, I think all of those countries will benefit over time. Bear in mind, the COVID situation is having a major impact in that region because the poorer countries are having harder times getting vaccinations. But I do like Southeast Asia. I see them as a net beneficiary. I think you'll see more going back into Latin America as you sort of, Jared, as you pointed out with the BRIC countries, it used to be talked about all the time, but I do think you're going to see more investment in Brazil. But ultimately, unfortunately, you'll see outflows continue for some time out of Chinese companies that are listed abroad. I think, these newer areas, it may be Africa, but we're still a little bit too early in the frontier over there. I'd say those are the beneficiaries.
Is there one Chinese tech company that could survive this? Based on looking for a one name that, you know, maybe they have the best contacts in the Chinese government, whatever the reason, that is not in the same boat as DT, and their stock might thrive on the other side of this.
I don't think there's not going to be one company that's going to make it different than all the other Chinese listed companies. I think what ultimately may happen is you might see a shift going into the Shanghai or going in listed A shares. I think you might see that take place on these companies, because I mean, if you look at what's happening in Hong Kong and even what China sort of did with Hong Kong, I mean, there's a lot of wild cards out here. But when I look at this world, and by the way, I mean, if you look at China, I mean, it's still an amazing open-ended growth opportunity. It's just I find it uninvestable from a U.S. perspective right now, because you just don't know what that risk will be. So, I'll wake up one morning and there could be more regulation, a delisting, something maybe being blocked. But I won't wake up one morning with a really positive thing from President Xi saying that he's giving control back to the companies. So I find the downside risk is very significant. The upside surprise is not there. And to me, that makes outflows likely for some time.
Yeah, you got to think that we're still in the beginning stages here and seeing all those stocks chopped in half and still basically in the bottom end of their trading ranges. We're going to be keeping an eye on this. And Brad, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for stopping by. Brad Gasworth, the Wedbush Securities Chief Technology Strategist.